I really just wanted to hear that. Yay! What's up, everybody? Long time no see. I really just wanted to hear that beat again. I'm sorry. So anyway, we're starting a new series today called Doors. And so we don't typically have random doors all over the place, but we thought kind of, you know, a visual expression of what it is that we're trying to articulate would be cool. So we're talking about doors. And doors is one of those things that you probably hear if you've been in church very long or you've been a Christian very long. You've probably heard the word doors used in several different capacities. It's used a lot of times. This is the one that we're talking about today, and I'll just kind of give you a little bit of foreshadowing. Jesus said that he is the door. And so, like, we hear these things, and it's like, oh, that's cool. I mean, it sounds really cool. I don't know exactly what it means, but it sounds cool. And then you hear people talking about, oh, God opens doors, and God closes doors. And so doors is just something that kind of gets thrown around a lot. So I wanted to do a series and kind of nail down exactly what some of these things mean. And more importantly, like, how we can apply it to our lives. Because that's the last thing that I've ever wanted as a pastor is to, like, know a lot of stuff as a church but not do a lot of stuff as a church. And so for us, man, I think it's always got to be about application. Man, let's leave. When we leave, let's apply what it is that we've learned, not just be hearers of God's word, but be doers of God's word, right? Right. Good, good. And I told you guys, there is some chocolate inside of me. So if you guys are, if you're feeling it, if you want to stand up and go, my, I'm okay with that. Just, that's the only time I'm going to say that. White. We're going to kick off the series by talking about the door, how Jesus said that he is the door. And so in John chapter 10, verse 9, it says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so what's cool is Jesus is using an analogy. He's telling a story. And he did this so well. He kind of painted pictures with words. He was a very illustrative with the way that he communicated. And he was talking about sheep. And he's like, I'm the shepherd. And so it's hard for us sometimes, I think, to understand this because we're not a lot of farmers or ranchers, right? How many of you guys are farmers and ranchers? As I suspected, right? And so, but the people that he was talking to, this was a very familiar idea to them. So he was like, look, here's the deal. I'm the shepherd, and you guys are the sheep. And if you go through the door that I lead you to, you can go to the right pastures. We grew up in Diana. Hey. That was to elicit a response from all you Dianians, man. Be proud. Proud of your heritage, all right? So we had land, and we actually had cattle, which was a shocking experience. If you've never seen what they do to little calves, so sad. You think I'm playing. It involves a rubber band and some snips, okay? Just awful. That was my experience growing up on the farm, right? And so, but I kind of understand how this whole pasture thing is. You have to move the herd from pasture to pasture. After they've wore one pasture out, you got to send them to another pasture. And so I get kind of what Jesus is saying. He's like, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll send you to the right pasture if you just trust me, if you walk through the door. And I think more importantly than that, it's like first, like the first and most important thing that we can do, the starting point for the conversation is that Jesus is the door to God. And we're familiar with this, but we'll get there in a minute. The Greek word used for door is thura. I think that's how they say it. But we're going to go with it because it sounds really like, wow. That's deep, right? Everybody go thura. And you got to roll your tongue, thura. Kind of like Thor with a hammer, but thura. Shelly cackles from time to time, and I love it, man. I love it. And so that's the Greek word. And this is the definition of the word thura. It's an opening, like a door, duh, right? An entrance, a way or passage into. And also, kind of metaphorically speaking, it means the door to salvation, the open door to opportunity, which that one is so cool to me. Because I think sometimes we think that Christianity is dull and boring and lame, and if it is, you're not doing it right. Right? It's a door to opportunity. Like, God never, like, says, hey, come into, you know, a relationship with me and your life is going to be, right? It's not, like, it's new and it's exciting and there's a lot of opportunity. It's the door to opportunity. And then the last one is it's the door to the kingdom of heaven. So what Jesus is saying, he's like, I am the door. I am the way to be connected to God. And what's really cool is we're going to answer a lot of questions today related to but the first one is this, and I'll get to what's really cool because I kind of jumped the gun. I do that from time to time. I'm ADD squirrel, right? The first question is, what is the door? And I already started to answer that one. If you look at the passage that this verse is out of, if you just read John chapter 10, you would see that the use of the word door pretty regularly. He talks about, you know, the door. And then in John chapter 10, verse 9, he kind of completes it, and he's like, I am the door. And what's cool is, like, we're pretty familiar with the idea that Jesus, growing up in East Texas, like, as most of us probably did, like, Christianity is pretty well known. Everybody kind of understands that Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe that he is the way to God. Like, we're familiar with that. And so we get, when Jesus said, I'm the way to be connected to God, that's not foreign to us. Like, that's relatively familiar to us. But to the people that he was talking to, this was crazy. Like, this was cuckoo talk, right? Just off the wall. Like, where are you coming from with this? Because for hundreds of years up to this point, their understanding of how to be close to God was directly related to the rules that they kept. It was all about the law. And if you follow the law stringently and strictly, then you were a very good follower of God and you were close to God. And there's a lot of problems with it. There's a lot of inherent issues with that. To the people that he was talking to, the things that he said about him being the door and him being the way to be connected to God was very unfamiliar. And so, again, kind of the problem with the law, the problem with having all of these rules and that being your way to be close to God is that it's kind of counterproductive when you have pride based on what it is that you do, and pride separates you from God, but the things that you're doing are supposed to get you closer to God. Did you see the way we did that? We talk circularly, which most conversations go that way. Right? People, they became prideful kind of in their own accomplishments. They became prideful in how good they were, which is, that's kind of beyond the point, right? Isn't the point is to be, you can be content with who you are and the things that you're doing, but humility also has to remain intact. And they became very prideful in their accomplishments. They became very prideful in their perceived righteousness. But Jesus, he kind of changed. He shifted this whole God and man paradigm so that the way to be connected to God was no longer about your rules, but it was about him. And he was the one that was, we get the, or maybe you understand, hopefully you understand, like Jesus was what we call the ultimate sacrifice, the propitiation for all of our sins. He lived a perfect life that we could never live. He's the only one that could ever fully and finally satisfy the requirement of the law. Like, we can't do it. Like, you're only good so long, right? Have you guys ever done this? I do this from time to time. Like, usually it starts on Sunday. I go to church and I feel all inspired and I'm going to start doing awesome things, and that lasts till about Tuesday. Anybody, right? I mean, you guys, we're in church. You can be honest. The pastor just said it. You can say it. Like, and we want to be good, man, and we try to be good, but we can only be so good. Like, there's only so much good in us. I heard a song one time, and I was like, that's my life. And the song was this: the only thing good in me is Jesus. Like, that's it, man. That's the end of my goodness, and the beginning of his is my goodness, because I've only got, I mean, if you look at your own natural tendencies, my own natural tendencies are I get frustrated, I get impatient, I want to yell, I want to throw things, I get tired, people can't drive, people can't talk, people can't do nothing. Like, that's me, right? But my ability to love and my ability to have patience and my ability to have joy, that's all because of Jesus. Like, that's my goodness, right? And so, anyway, the law created pride, which separated us from God, which is a long way from where we just went. I don't know how we got there, but we did. And so what Jesus is saying, he's like, no longer do you have to hunt down and bust down doors with your own efforts to get to God. I am the way to God. I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to simplify the process, because we like to complicate the process, don't we? Don't we? That's the starting point for the conversation. Jesus is the door. That's what the door is Jesus, and he is the way to be connected to God. That's the first one. It leads us to our second question, is how do we open the door? How do we open the door? And I was thinking about this. I've told you guys a million times, I love quotes. Like, quotes are so good to me, because it's like you can sum up all of your feelings and all of the emotion that you have about something in just this one succinct, powerful, hopefully rhyming phrase. Because if it rhymes, everybody's more likely to believe it, right? But this one doesn't rhyme, unfortunately, but this is what it says, and it's from Charles Dickens, and it's unrelated to Christianity altogether, but it's so good. It says, a very little key will open a very heavy door. Think about that. Like, you have a massive, gargantuan door, and it's shut, it's locked, you can't get in, there's no way to get beyond it, it's impenetrable. But it's opened up by a tiny key, and you can walk through the door. Isn't that crazy? Like, just, you know, the thought, right? It's unbelievable. And so for us, the way that translates is salvation, eternal life, all of these huge things are on the other side of the door. And it's like there's this chasm between us and God. It's like, how in the world could I ever get to there? How could I, a human with all of my frailties and all of my problems and all of my insecurities, how could I ever possibly get to God? And it's this little key that opens this massive door. If you guys want to give me a mm-hmm, that'd be okay right now. I thought that was good. If you thought it was good, say, that's good, Pastor, that's good. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 kind of sums it up. And this is what it says. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is the key that you put in the door that opens the door. And then you can walk through the door with this little bitty stinking key. Like, and this is, again, because we like to overcomplicate it, it sounds too easy. It sounds unfair, which is funny because we want unfair to work in our favor when we're whining, but it doesn't work in our favor when we're trying to process God, right? It's unfair that you have an opportunity to walk through the door because you don't deserve it. Like, I don't deserve, I have no business walking through the door. None, right? But because of faith and because of the grace of God, I'm allowed to walk through the door. So Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And then I love this little interjection. It says, and that not of yourselves. Kind of reinforcing what we talked about earlier is that when we put the emphasis on what you do and how good you are, you become very prideful in your accomplishments. You think that you are the reason that God loves you, and you are not the reason that God loves you, right? God loves you because he loves you. He loves all of you and all of your problems and all of your flaws and all of your junk. It's funny. I like nicknames. Do you guys like nicknames? I don't know where we're going. I'll kind of give you the segue here in a minute, how this all processed in my brain. So I started calling my daughter. First off, I called her Sugar Butt because I thought it was funny as a nickname. And then she was wearing a jacket, and the button on it said Juju. So now her full name is Juju Sugar Butt. Pretty cool. See, that's me. Like, I want to throw things. They're doing. If you guys need to get your hair did, they're putting a salon in next door, apparently. Or you can blow it up, whichever one you want to do. Right? All right. So that's what's cool. It's like, it's not about us. It's not so. And what's great is that it takes all of the pressure off of you. You're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so what's really cool, this is really cool to me. I thought of this all on my own. I was just so proud of myself, so prideful in my thought, right? And this was it. Because we're talking about grace and faith. Grace, how many of you guys have had, you got dead bolts on the inside of your door, right? How many of you guys have been to a hotel where they've got the big, like, dead bolts in the chains and you can really do it right? So you have to unlock it from the inside for anybody to get in from the outside. Grace unlocks the door from the inside. Faith unlocks the door from the outside. And then you can walk through the door. Morgan, where you at? Boom, done. Anyway, Morgan plays the organ for me because it rhymes and it's good. So that's it. Like, that's it. What was humanly impossible is now possible because of the door, because of Jesus, because of a gracious and loving God who unlocked the door from the inside so that we could then unlock it from the outside. And again, like, I get that we struggle with this. Like, I understand that because I struggle with it sometimes. I'm like, it's just too good to be true. And I think because we think it's too good to be true, we view God as like this labyrinth master who couldn't possibly want us to get through the maze to him. And that's not it at all. It's not a maze. It's not multiple doors. It's not figure out what's behind door number one and number two and number three and number four. And maybe if you're lucky, you're going to open the right door. And if you're not, you're going to die. Right? Like, I just, you guys know what I'm going to go. You're right? Okay. I just had a visual of like opening all these doors. And if like, if you get the right door, you're good. If you don't, you're kind of in a bad shape. And so that's not God. It's a straight path. It's a door, a single door that you put the key of faith into. And because of grace, he's unlocked it from the backside and you can walk through the door. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this. And this is, man, you guys are probably familiar with this. If you're not, this is really good. This is foundational stuff for us as followers of Jesus. It says this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? That is so, it's so simple. And we make it, man, we make it so much harder than it is or ever was intended to be, because we believe that it's all about what you do, and God believes it's all about who you are. Now, at some point, here's the disclaimer, at some point, who you are should dictate what you do, right? But the emphasis can't be on the outside first and any inside, and then the inside. It's got to be on the inside first, and then it will be on the outside, right? So, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Like, that's it. Like, it's this incredibly complex answer to an incredibly complex question that we can't really fully understand, because we don't get it. I don't think I can understand it, because it's just, again, it's too good to be true. But that's it. Like, that's the answer. That's how you get through the door. And again, I understand that at some point, what's happening inside of you should determine what's going on outside of you. Like, belief and confession are powerful catalysts for you to change your life and things to start happening in your life, and you're a different person because of that. But that's where it has to start. And then the other things take place. Like, you guys, this is not a church like this at all, but you've heard stories of churches that won't welcome people or accept people because they're kind of, they look a certain way, or they're messed up, or they got issues, or they got problems. Like, that's what the church is there for. Right? Like, that's the point of the church, is for people that are messed up and with problems to come and find out about Jesus. My wife owns a salon. Sucker. See the way I did that? Yeah. And so I put some wood floors in her salon the other day, and it looked fantastic. Where's Taylor? He helped me. What a man. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty man. I think I did that one too many times. And so this is the funny thing. So we put them in, and they just look beautiful. I had to go back the next day and just do a little bit of finish up, just a few things to kind of touch it up. And I walked in, and there was hair on the floor. There was hair on the floor. So I was kind of frustrated. I'm like, I work my butt off till 3 o'clock in the morning putting these floors down, and I come in and there's hair on the floor. And then I was like, genius. It's a salon. There's supposed to be hair on the floor. Like, that's why you put the floors down, is because it's a salon and there's supposed to be hairs on the floor, right? The church is supposed to have messed up people. That's what it's there for. That's why we exist, man. If you're perfect, you can leave. You're done. Mission accomplished. For the rest of us, let's stay around a little while and work on it. Whoo! Okay. And I get it. Like I said, I get it. I get it. We overcomplicate this because it seems too simple. But belief and confession are powerful catalysts to change the way that we live. But those are only byproducts. Jesus is the product. The way that you live, the things that you do, the things that you can accomplish, your righteousness is only a byproduct of what God is doing inside of you, right? So that's the second question. How do we get through the door? The last one is this. What is on the other side of the dough? D-O, dough. What's on the other side of the door? And this one's probably, this is fun because I like talking about benefits, right? We like talking about good things. We like talking about, hey man, you know, if you do this, this is what happens, rewards. This one's good because it's like getting a bonus or an accolade for work you didn't even do, right? How would you like to get a paycheck for work you didn't even do? Okay, I thought that would be good. It's like I said, it's like receiving a trophy. You got an Oscar and you weren't even in a movie. That's what this is like. It's like benefits for things that we didn't even, that's what's on the other side of the door. So we're going to kind of cruise through these. There's three of them that we're going to look at. There's a gajillion, but we won't do that. It's funny. I say stupid things sometimes, just like in jest. And so my son, he just takes it as like, it's real, right? And so he thinks gajillion is a real word. And I'm like, God, I got to work on that, right? Right? Okay. The first one is this. We get a new life. And we hear that expression a lot. You hear, you know, we get a new life in Christ, and salvation is a fresh start, and it's all new. We hear this a lot. But the first thing on the other side of the door is a new life. It's new motives. It's new passions. It's new purpose. It's a new pattern of thinking. It's new ambitions. It's a new standard. It's new, which is really good because the old is pretty lame. Like, I remember the old, and I remember, like, the emptiness in the old. And I like the purpose in the new as opposed to the emptiness in the old. Like, I've been on both sides of the spectrum, and I can promise you that the new is a lot better. Anyway, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this. Therefore, we were buried with him, being Jesus, by baptism into death, in order that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's a good Easter verse. We may do that. And it says, this is why. This is what it's all about. So we too may walk in a new way of life. Like the way that we live life and the things that we're, I think so much, we put so much emphasis on the external that that's not really even what it's about. I think it's all about what's going on the inside. Like, man, when you first get saved and you first start coming to church and you first start living your life for Jesus, like a lot of times there's not a great deal of change. It's not a shocking change in the way that you live, but the way that you think is a lot different. The way that you think about people is a lot different. Instead of looking at relationships as a tool to manipulate and get what you want, you actually start to care about people because they're people and they matter to God, so they matter to you. Like, it's just a different way of thinking. It's a new way of thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You guys have heard this one, I hope. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. That's good. That's really good because, man, we need that. And so this is, again, let me kind of set this up and explain away some of my issues. Like, there have been times in my life where you struggle, right? And so you assume that if you struggle, man, do I really even belong to God, right? Am I really saved? Have you guys ever had real questions like this? Wow, bare my soul and you guys give me that. Like, I think if you're honest, like, you've got struggles and you've had issues in your life, you've had seasons in your life where you feel far from God and you feel like, man, it doesn't feel new to me. But the thing is, the difference is it all starts with belief, which ultimately affects what you do, which kind of changes the paradigm. It fades away the old and brings in the new. The do and the new, it actually rhymed. It was good. So anyone who belongs to Christ is now a new person. The old has passed away and a new life has begun. So that's the first one. The second one is this, and this is really cool. The subtitle is A Fresh Start. How many of you guys like the reset button on your Nintendo back in the day? How many of you guys had a Nintendo back in the day? Like, I'm talking Nintendo, like 1985 Nintendo. And so, man, if you were sucking it up, if you were having a bad game, reset. Can we be honest? And so nowadays we play, how many of you guys play Call of Duty, right? So a lot of dudes, what they'll do to keep their kill-death ratio really high is that if they're getting their butt kicked, they'll reset their game and it doesn't count against their score streaks. You're a loser. Stop doing that. I've done it. It's good. But the point is that when things aren't going your way, you can get a fresh start. When things aren't going like you think they should go, and man, maybe things are out of control and maybe things are crazy, hit the reset button. Like, and that's what Jesus is all about. I've heard this expression. We've even said it before, and you guys have probably heard it. It doesn't how many steps away from God that you've taken. It only takes one step to get back. Like, turn back, and it's the reset button. You get a fresh start, and don't we need that? Isn't that a nice thing to know that you've got at your disposal? Isn't that a nice lifeline to have, right? And so this is really cool. How many of you guys have watched the movie or the video show or the TV show Brain Games? Show of hands, Brain Games, okay. So Brain Games is a really cool one. So we were watching it the other day, and this was fascinating. When you walk through a new door into a new room, you have a tendency to forget what you came in there for. Have you done this? Like, you're looking for your keys, you're walking through the whole house, you get into a new room, you get distracted, you start doing something new, and you forget what you were even in the room for. You see where I'm going? When we walk through a new door, we walk through the door, we get into a new room, and we forget everything that we even came in there for. That's what Jesus is about, man. It's a fresh start. You get an opportunity, you have an opportunity to forget what you've done, forget all your failures, forget what's behind, and look forward to what's ahead. Like, that's what Jesus brings. It's a fresh start. All of our past failures, all of our sin, all of our shame no longer determine who we are, nor do they determine who it is that we're going to be, because we have a fresh start when we walk through the dough, right? Isn't that good? And then the last one, this is my favorite. I wanted to bring Shelly up because I needed a little help from my friend. No, I just wanted to say I needed a little help from my friend. You guys remember the what TV show was that? Come on. Fred Savage, Ben Savage. Wonderful Life. There it is. No. Wonder Years. Who did that? Tracy. I understand. We got it. We good. And so that's what, I don't know what it is about that song, but that's one of my favorite songs in all, I guess as far as TV theme songs go. And it starts, and I think I love it so much because it kind of identifies with my life. And it starts like this. What would you do if I sang out of tune? There I am, right? It says, would you stand up and walk out on me? But the chorus is, I'm going to have a little help from my friends. And so I think walking through the door, I stole this idea from that. But walking through the door is, man, when you do that, you can have a little help from the friend, from your friend. It says that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's what Jesus is. He's a friend who's with us every step of the way. Sometimes I think because of the way that we allow emotions to get into our life and we allow our feelings to kind of overwhelm us, we think that God is distant, but he's not. Jesus said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. It says, just read the book of John. Like if you want, we have a lot of Johns, so we call them 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Gospel of John. And so don't read them, but read the book of John, the Gospel of John. And you just get this sense that Jesus loves us. Like really loves us. We're a friend to him. He cares about us deeply. And if you have a friend that loves you and cares about you deeply, they're not going to leave you hanging. That's not what friends do. That's not what Jesus is going to do. You're going to have a little help from your friend, right? And then if you read Matthew chapter 28, it says that, look, I'm with you wherever you go, whatever may happen, to steal a line from you. This, I have such a cheesy illustrative. I've watched too many movies in my life, right? Napoleon Dynamite. You know the dance at the end? And so I'm going to steal a line from that. This is like Christian cussing. But come hell or high water, like Jesus is going to be there. Like it doesn't matter how difficult your life gets. It doesn't matter how crazy your life gets. And this is what's cool. It doesn't matter what your attitude toward him is. He'll never stop pursuing you. He'll never stop coming after you. He'll never stop wanting you to walk through the door. And it's great to know that you've got a friend like that that wants you to be with him and close to him and alongside of him for the journey. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, it says this. And this, man, this one means so much because I think, again, we view God as like, God, you don't understand. You're God. Like, I'm human. I have frailties. I have weaknesses. You don't understand that. But Jesus is so much different. He says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Like Jesus lived the life. He was a human. He experienced trouble and trauma and pain. He experienced betrayal. He experienced somebody that he cared about turned him over to be killed. You want to talk about a bad day, right? You want to talk about betrayal from a friend. Like Jesus gets every feeling and every emotion that we could ever possibly have, and he understands it. And so it follows up with this. It says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Like walk through the door to God so that you can find help in your time of need. Like when you need help, you got a friend who's there for you. If you walk through the door, he wants to be there to assist you in whatever it is that you go through. Man, so just if you have this idea that God is distant, get that out of your head. Like it's not reality. It's not true. God is very much near, and he wants to be even nearer. He wants to be closer to us. But in order for that to happen, we've got to walk through the door. We've got to walk through the door of Jesus to be connected to God. Then we've got to walk through the door of this throne room of grace so that we can find help in our time of need. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to pray kind of for everybody on wherever you're at in the spectrum. And maybe you just need to start all over. Maybe this is something that you've heard before, but you've never really done anything with it. Like, do something with it. Walk through the door. Like, I promise you, the benefits on the new side far outweigh the emptiness on the old side. I'm not saying your life is going to be perfect, but I am telling you it's going to be better. Jesus is all about making us close to him, and being close to a God who loves you is always better than wandering your own way and finding and coming up empty. Let me pray for us real quick. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful that you've given us this illustration of you, Jesus, being a door to God. God, you did for us in dying on the cross what we could never do on our own and for ourselves. God, there's no amount of effort or work that would ever be sufficient to be connected to you. But because of Jesus, because of the way that he lived, and because of who he was, God, we now have an opportunity to be connected to you. God, we're thankful for that. God, I pray that you would give us the initiative this morning. God, I pray that you would convict the hearts of anybody in this room, God, who hasn't taken that step. That today would be a day that they would take that step, that they would walk through that door, God, that they would know and feel and understand that you want to know them and be known by them, that you want to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that you want to be this new start for them, this refresh, restart, reset. God, I pray that if there's anybody in the room, God, that just needs maybe to take a next step. Maybe they've done all of that and they love you and they're following you, God, but maybe they need a fresh start in their life. God, I pray that we would just understand fully that we have a friend in you, that no matter where we're at in our lives, no matter what we've gone through, what we've done, God, even our emotional condition, maybe we feel cold towards you. God, I pray that this morning that we would get a fresh start, that we would start all over, we would wipe the slate clean, that you would wipe the slate clean. And it's starting now. God, when we leave this place, we would live just a little bit differently because of what you're doing inside of us. That would determine what's going on outside of us. God, we love you and we thank you for all of this. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.